You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
That part's 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another Western Rookie bonus episode brought to you by Go Hunt. We have got a busy episode today because there are a lot of Western applications dropping in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to cover a few of them here today, and then we're going to cover the rest in the upcoming episodes because it is application season. So first up, we've got South Dakota non-resident archery, deer, and antelope. This is going to be for public and private land. So this is kind of a newer tag in the last couple years that gives non-residents an option to hunt deer and antelope with a bow on public land. The deadline's April 18th for deer and April 23rd for antelope, so don't get those two confused. It's not the same day. They're doing a draw system where they call it a preference point, but it's really a cubed plus one bonus point system, which means if you're going into the draw with, let's just say, 5 points, they're going to cube that, right? So that's going to be 125 entries plus your current year app. So you'll have 126 entries, lottery tickets, going into the draw, and they're going to pick out of that. So you always have a random chance to draw. Very similar to North Dakota, actually. North Dakota just does squaring through 4 points, and then once you hit the fifth point, the fifth year, you start to cube your points. But the Dakotas are very similar in that regard. And you can have parties. So you can have parties of up to six. Everyone in your party must have the same first choice for unit. But you're good to go with the parties. And so that's one way to get out this fall with a bow. And what we're seeing in South Dakota for the breakdown, decent population and quality for both mule deer and whitetails. Whitetails are by far the most popular option. There's more tags, there's more deer, a little bit larger deer when it comes to like representative of the species. So whitetails definitely bring a lot more emphasis, but it's also easier to draw with a little less points. Mule deer have a little bit higher interest. A lot more people are trying to get those tags, a lot less tags go around. So whitetails are kind of the... I'd say whitetails would be your easier option to get out if you don't care which. Mule deer, it's a little bit tougher to draw the tag. Biggest hurdle in South Dakota is going to be that access to private land. You guys all know it well. Dakotas have a lot of private land, and so that's going to be something you might want to get permission before you apply if you don't want to worry about trying to find public. So as far as the antelope go, there's decent size in South Dakota as well. Lots of 75-inch unit potentials across the state. It's obviously the western half of the state for the antelope and the mule deer. whitetails is kind of sprinkled across the entire state. Not every unit is available for non-residents, so you have to check the map. I believe you can check filtering 2.0, find some units, and get your applications in. So that's South Dakota, non-resident deer and antelope archery applications. Next up, Montana once-in-a-lifetime tags. The MSGB tags, that stands for moose, bighorn sheep, Rocky Mountain goat, and bison. What we're seeing is the May 1st for the deadline on the Montana MSGB tags. As we're recording this, I believe Montana just released the results of their deer and elk tags today. So different drawing for the MSGB. Deadline is May 1st. The draw system is a squared bonus points for moose, sheep, and goats. It's a lottery, a random lottery for the bison. So two different systems there. On the breakdown, so Montana is definitely the king of Rocky Mountain bighorns in the lower 48, taking Alaska out of the conversation, and I suppose Hawaii as well. Not sure how many bighorn sheep are in Hawaii, but Montana is the king in the lower 48 for Rocky Mountain bighorn in terms of size and quantity. It's also one of the only places you can hunt an over-the-counter tag for Rocky Mountain bighorn. You still need to apply, but there are a few units where everyone that applies gets a tag. The way they handle this is with a unit quota. So once the quota's met, 48 hours later, the season shuts down. So you got to be checking in. Now, sounds too good to be true, over-the-counter bighorn sheep hunting. These Montana over-the-counter bighorn sheep tags are widely considered to be the toughest tags in North America to hunt and to fill a tag. The terrain is incredibly rugged. There's places, lots of places where it's literally impassable. The populations of sheep are very low, very sparse, very hard to find. And on top of that, the quality is just average at best. There are a couple of really big rams being taken, but overall, it is one of the hardest hunts in all of North America. So don't go rushing off to buy your over-the-counter or apply for your bighorn sheep tag in those five units just yet. Overall, current herd status in Montana is looking really good thanks to some good management from the state. Even with a couple of disease outbreaks with pneumonia in the herds, they're still seeing some pretty strong populations, so that's promising. On the other tags, so there's the five units that you can apply for and get 100% draw odds. The other units are all limited entry, and even with max points, the odds are only 2 to 3% of drawing. So very, very difficult to draw a limited entry bighorn tag in Montana. And one thing to keep in mind for all the non-residents out there, the units you're allowed to apply for, or the units that have tags available to non-residents, changes every year. You cannot apply for the same unit every year. It's just one thing they do to help spread out the pressure and the amount of tags is they rotate the units that non-residents can apply to. So some units, maybe the unit you applied to last year, might not have any tags available to non-residents this year. Moving on to moose. Montana has been known as one of the best high-risk moose states for a long time. The draw odds are incredibly low, however. And once again, same as the sheep, the non-resident units that have tags available changes every year. So you got to check the filtering 2.0 and the draw odds to see which units you're allowed to apply for or which units you can draw a tag for even. You don't want to go apply for a unit that doesn't have any tags. Moving on. Goats, right? Rocky Mountain goats. Slightly better draw odds than the sheep and the moose, but it's still one of the hardest hunts in the lower 48. The resident draw odds are starting to get good, right around 10 years worth of points. Once again, for all of these MSGB tags, the non-resident units change every year, so you got to check which units have non-resident tags available. And overall herd numbers took a slight hit a few years ago, but now they're holding strong. They're balancing out. Hopefully with a mild winter that we've had this year in 23-24, we're going to get some good recruitment and maybe see a bounce back on some of these populations. Last up in Montana, the bison hunt. So this is a unique hunt in Montana. This is a migration hunt when the bison move out of Yellowstone due to winter. You know, basically, the more snow you get, the more they migrate out of Yellowstone. That is how you can hunt a bison in Montana. Now, you can apply for two tag types. The random tag, which has very low odds, is just a no-point system tag that you can apply for, and it's a random lottery. Or you can apply to get on a roster hunt. Now, the roster hunt is when they have excessive migrations out of Yellowstone. They will open up the roster hunt and have a little bit more hunting pressure. They really want to keep the bison inside Yellowstone because of the brucellosis that bison can spread to local ranchers' cattle herds, and that's very, very bad. So the roster hunts are only really used in heavy migration years. And one thing to keep in mind, the odds for the bison hunt in Montana are extremely low. They're less than 1% for both residents and non-residents. So you can apply, but unless you just really have your heart set on hunting a bison in Montana, chances are you're not going to draw. And so that is the Montana MSGB tags. Let's move on to the last state that we're going to talk about today, and that is Nevada. Nevada's applications is coming due May 8th, and this is for all species. So all Nevada species are, the application deadline is May 8th. The draw system is a squared bonus point system, and you can only apply for a party for three species: deer, antelope, and antlerless elk. And when you apply for a party, your party is averaged. The points of your party are averaged and then rounded down. So if you have, let's just say 1, 2, and 4 points in your group of three, you're going to go 7 divided by 3 is 2 1/3. That's going to round down to 2. You're going to get that squared to 4. You're going to go into the application with 4 entries in the bonus, in the bonus draw. So, pick your group members very wisely. Would not be a good idea to partner with someone that's only got 1 point and you maybe have 10. But that is the system. May 8th, don't forget the deadline in Nevada. One thing to keep in mind with Nevada: when you apply in Nevada, always apply for the actual tag. Never do points only. And the reason for that is you always have a chance to draw due to the random bonus point system they have. Even with one bonus point, you could still draw a tag because that you get your points squared, they all go into bucket, and they start drawing numbers. You always have a chance. So the only reason to ever build points in Nevada and not apply for the tag is if you can't get the time off work or you don't have the money for the tag. Those are the only two reasons. If you could go on the hunt, if you could buy the tag, apply for the actual tag. It's the same exact price, and you always have a chance to draw. So with the mule deer are on a downward trend in Nevada due to the recent droughts, but the quality of the hunts are still good, and there are a lot of hunt options. It can be hard to draw these tags, especially for non-residents, so non-residents may want to stick with archery to get tags more often, and this is just where you're going to want to use draw odds and filtering 2.0 to find units that are a good option for you. Once you start getting into that 5 to 10 point unit, you're going to start seeing some tags with decent draw odds. Elk in Nevada is an interesting situation. So Nevada has primarily taken a quality over quantity management strategy for bull tags. So these are incredibly hard to draw a bull elk tag in Nevada, but if you draw it, you're going to have what is considered to be a hunt of a lifetime. A lot of non-residents may only draw one bull tag in their lifetime, if any. And so there's one thing you got to keep in mind. If you're just starting to build points across the West, Nevada elk might be something where you got to decide for yourself, but you may want to take those points you were going to build in Nevada for elk and just put them in a savings account or an investment and just build up that money and maybe just pay for a landowner tag in another state if you're just looking for that once-in-a-lifetime tag or that once-in-a-lifetime hunt. There's a lot of big bulls in Nevada. Almost every unit produces 350s, but if the chances are that you'll never use your points, then it's hard to justify all that cost over those years to build points. Now, moving on to antelope. Antelope in Nevada is a very popular hunt. There's no such thing as a bad Nevada antelope tag. There's the population is down slightly, but the trophy quality is still incredibly high. There are a ton of units in Nevada that are producing 80-inch and a bigger bucks every year. And so basically every antelope tag in Nevada is good. Some units may just require a little bit more work to be successful. So those are the big three. Well, not the big three. The big three are moose, sheep, and goat. Those are the common three, elk, antelope, and deer. Now moving on to the big three. There's desert bighorn, California bighorn, and Rocky Mountain bighorns in Nevada. Starting with the desert bighorn, numbers are declined a little bit. There are no non-resident archery tags. Odds are still even tougher resident archery tags. The non-resident rifle tags for a Nevada desert bighorn are less than 1% with 30 points. This is another thing where if you are just starting to build points across the West, it may not make sense to build sheep points in Nevada if it's going to take you 30 years to even get close to 1% draw odds. That means most people are never drawing this tag if you start today as a non-resident. California bighorns, same as the desert bighorn. Numbers have declined a little bit, but it's worse odds by almost a factor of 10, which means max point residents are still seeing like a tenth of a percent chance of drawing. Rocky Mountain bighorns are only available to residents, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. So when it comes to sheep in Nevada, if you've already built a bunch of points, I hope you draw. If you're just starting to get into the point game, I would say it's not worth buying points in Nevada as a non-resident. Moving on to the goats, there are very few tags and very poor odds. When I say very poor odds, there's expected to only be one non-resident tag for Rocky Mountain goats. That's pretty low. So, once again, does it make sense to apply in Nevada for goats if you're just starting out? Probably not. Now, what's new and exciting is for 2024, there's a new season for moose. It's only open to the residents, so I'll let you guys that live in Nevada go look that up on Go Hunt. But it's a new hunt coming in 2024, so that's pretty exciting. And that's what we have for today's episode. Don't forget, South Dakota archery tags for deer and antelope. April 18th, April 23rd for both of those. Make sure you know which one is which. Deer is first, then antelope. Montana MSGB tags, they're coming May 1st, so a couple weeks after that. And then finally, the Nevada All Apps, May 8th. That's your breakdown for those three sets of applications. Like always, I hope every one of you draw a tag and go hunting out west this fall. Thank you for being here and listening today.